On this episode of the Fieldhouse Files, I'll be joined by Tim Sinclair, one of several individuals who sit courtside on Pacer game nights who are headed to Orlando to help the NBA with the restart. He'll be one of four public address announcers for the games. And welcome into another episode of the Fieldhouse Files. I'm Scott Agnes. And first of all, I just want to say thanks. Thanks to you. Those loyal listeners of this show, whether it be on Apple Music, on Spotify, wherever, for continuing to listen to support the show, and I hope you continue to do so. Well, the Pacers, meanwhile, are down in Orlando and have survived quarantine. They're now free to roam around and enjoy the Disney campus, and they've begun to do so here over the last several days. And I'll actually get into the hotel amenities and what the campus is like, what options they have to explore and kind of get out of their room, and also why Disney made the most sense with my next episode. That will be with Keith Smith of Yahoo Sports. He previously worked right there at Disney for almost 20 years. Now, as for the team, they practice both on Saturday and Sunday, as each team is allotted 3-hour window that includes weightlifting and all. Then strategically, there's an hour between teams practicing to minimize the contact between a number of teams, to allow for media interviews, which are all conducted via Zoom, and to quite honestly allow for adequate cleaning. Thus far, based on videos provided by the team, it doesn't look like Malcolm Brogdon is out there practicing just yet. Remember, he was diagnosed testing positive with COVID-19 in late June. It's been almost 3 weeks now. And while we don't have a lot to go off of, we got to keep in mind where this coronavirus is a different beast, to the point where Nate McMillan said he won't even say who's practicing, just that he felt like they had a good first couple of days and felt like they got a lot accomplished, maybe even more than he expected. It's also noteworthy to share that Victor Oladipo, who said he won't play in games, and that continues to be his plan. However, he is fully participating in practice. He's shooting. He's going through drills. He's rehabbing as well, and also participating in the 5-on-5 scrimmage. For example, on Sunday morning when they held their practice, they went for about 24 minutes live, 2 12-minute quarters, and he participated in that. So while he has ruled himself out for the playoffs, he's still getting his reps in and working daily with the team. That's another thing I will absolutely explain in greater detail on an upcoming show, as well as in my writing. Speaking of which, I need to tell you about my new writing home. I'm extending the Fieldhouse Files name to become my writing home now as well. So go to fieldhousefiles.com. That will be the new home to all my written work. It's free, it's without ads, has a great mobile design, unlike Vigilant Sports. That's pretty outdated at this point. And on top of that, each story will be delivered right to your email, so you won't miss a story. So what you need to do is go to fieldhousefiles.com, sign up with your email, and you'll be good to go. Now, as for today, I'm talking with Tim Sinclair. He's the Pacers' public address announcer for the last couple of years, and now he's representing Indiana and the Pacers down in Orlando, where there will also be a few members of the stats crew, even a ball boy, all lending their hand in an effort to really help this NBA restart. It's a unique opportunity for each of them, and a reason I wanted to talk with Tim before he caught his flight to Orlando about the expectations and what he's getting himself into. All right, now joining me is Tim Sinclair, who's had kind of a roller coaster type year, if you consider it. Another year thriving as the Pacers PA announcer. In February, we both were in Chicago as he was the voice inside the United Center for the NBA All-Star Game. But then we only had a couple more games, and then the season came to a halt. But then, as he'll explain, he got the call for a unique opportunity, and Tim now joins me. Tim, what was that moment like for you when I assume you heard from Dean, the Pacers vice president of game operations, seeing if you were willing to go down to Disney and be one of the PA announcers for this restart?
Well, obviously, cool opportunity, right? You're not gonna turn it down if it comes your way. And what I didn't know even going in for sure was whether or not they were going to use a public address announcer on site. I didn't know that for sure. And so part of me went, well, maybe because I did the All-Star game, they'll give me a call. But maybe they're not going to use him at all. Maybe they have other people in mind. And so when Dean shot me a note and said, hey, are you interested? I knew I had to work some things out in my schedule, but I was willing to do that for sure.
I know this is almost 2 months ago, and at that point it was almost Father's Day, and that's when you sat down with your kids and had that heart-to-heart that any parent has to have, and, you know, can you accept this? Are you willing? Will we get through this? Take me inside those conversations, and what was that like for you and your family?
Well, I already see them not enough, divorced, and so I feel like I try to savor every single moment I get with them. And we've had a lot of really cool moments, to be honest, you know, doing what I get to do for a living. We get to go see some of the best sporting events in the world and do that together. And so that's been amazing. But this one was a little different. It wasn't something we could do together. And it wasn't a short term, you know, gone for a day or two, all-star weekend kind of commitment. It was much longer. And so that was a difficult one, I think, probably more so for me than for them. They see it as a cool experience. You know, they get to tell their friends and things at school whenever they get back to school what's going on. So it's not going to be easy. It is for sure the downside in all of this, about the only one that I can think of, quite honestly. And they're excited. They know it means that I'm getting a cool opportunity and that likely – the three of us will get other cool opportunities in the future for other events that we might be asked to do.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Obviously, this was concern number one. Take me through other ideas that went through your mind when you were weighing the pros and cons, and also just little things like, what do you pack? For how long do you pack? Do you even have any clarity on whether you'll be through the postseason, or is this just the seeding round that lasts for about a month through mid-August?
Well, a couple of things. The biggest problem, other than being away from my boys, is schedule. I knew if sports were going to start coming back in the fall, because I do so many of them, scheduling was going to get a little difficult. And so that was one thing I had to start looking through was, what if, by accepting this, am I going to miss in other potential opportunities?
And let's briefly go through those. Do you do Illinois football?
I do some Illinois football. I'm the internal public address announcer for all Illinois football, which is like press box and all those kinds of things. But I also do generally 1, 2, 3 games a year as the main public address guy. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the first three games of the season have been canceled. So that kind of frees up my September from that kind of stuff. Major League Soccer with the Chicago Fire is another one that could get in the way, but we still don't know if they're going to be back in market yet. They're playing in Orlando, ironically, as part of this MLS's back tournament, but beyond that, no one really knows. So that was the other one that I kind of had to look at and go, you know, what am I sacrificing there? But for the most part, I all the conflicts have worked themselves out, and so I feel like I could be here without letting anybody else down or breaking a contract or something with someone else. As for packing, man, I've never had to pack for a couple of months away before, so I don't exactly know what to expect. They're giving us things to wear on game day, from what I understand, at least a polo or some sort of shirt.
There's your polo and quarter zip. That's pretty standard.
You're right. Pretty standard. Exactly right. But the rest, I've tried to bring some shorts and some jeans and some nicer slacks if I need those, flip-flops for the times I get to be at the pool, and swimsuit, and bring about 10 to 12 of everything. That's kind of been my thought. I am told that once or twice a week Disney will come do my laundry, which is awesome.
Let's go.
I'm hoping I can get that at home too when I get back.
I love it. How about the fun stuff? Are you a big gamer? iPads, multiple computers, anything like that?
I'm not really a gamer. I do have my laptop, but I'm going to continue trying to do my TV job, which would be the other scheduling conflict. I do a daily TV show in Illinois, sort of a lifestyle program. But we've been all sorts of out of whack for the last 4 months anyway because of COVID. So our co-host is there for a week when I'm at home, and then we switch. So now I'm just going to do as much as I can from here, and I can do it remotely and log in and be on the show that way as my schedule allows. But they've been super gracious. And
that is so awesome. That's our current reality, right? That you can do it wherever and do it just almost as easily as whether it's your home or on the road down in Orlando.
Yeah, I had to bring a few extra things with me. I brought a microphone because I do a fair amount of voiceover work for people, and so I don't want to miss on those opportunities when they mm-hmm. come my way. And if I can just have it set up in the closet at the hotel and go in and voice something as needed, I will do that. So I've tried to cover all my bases, but man, I don't know. It's so the situation is so fluid. You did ask about timing. I am scheduled to be here through August the 14th, which I believe is the end of the regular season portion.
Correct.
But then the WNBA has asked me to go to Sarasota and work for them in their playoffs. So I will be driving from Orlando to Sarasota after my stint here, and I'll be there for at least 4 or 5 weeks doing games over there.
I did not know that, and that's one thing, though, I do appreciate, and I think we kind of both have the same mentality, is always say yes, and you never know where it might lead you. And people may remember, I think our last conversation was probably back in March, right after things went down with the Big Ten, and you were right there, courtside, no fans were allowed on that Friday morning, when you had to make it public, Tim, that, hey, you know what, not only this game canceled, but the tournament is now canceled, head home. To these benches, but that probably had you already thinking ahead to what to say when you don't have a crowd, and you can help create some energy, I think, in the building.
Well, I hope so, and I haven't seen it all or heard it all, but they are working really hard to make home games, or what should be home games for these teams, feel like home games, at least on the NBA side. I don't know as much about the WNBA yet, but all the public address announcers for the individual teams who are here have recorded their team's lineups. They've recorded some prompts that they would normally do when the team runs out on the court or when something big happens in the game. And they are going to try to incorporate those along with music and other things that are familiar to the teams that they would hear at home into these games. So it feels like a home game. Which I think is really cool. Now, it's going to be complex because it'll be a lot of buttons for somebody to push and make sure they're doing the right things at the right time. But I think it will at least give some sense of this is as home as we're going to get being in a bubble in Orlando.
Yeah, some kind of comforting feeling. So that makes a lot of sense. And I know we're going to have – it's not going to work the first day and people are going to complain, but there is so much going on that people have to realize, give it a couple days for them to master their new system and to get it correct, because I think that will be a great showing. While you're down there, how do you plan to stay busy when you're not maybe being a PA voice probably half of each day?
Well, I have like four other jobs, so like I said, I'm going to try to do some of
that's
the TV
it?
Stuff. Yeah, I know, it's a slack. So I will fill some of my time with that. The company I run called Ringer, we've been going gangbusters since this all sort of happened in March too, because we're a company that connects people, allows you to record, and so a lot of people are needing to do that now who weren't before. So that's keeping me busy. I also have a creative bone in my body or two, and so I'm trying to figure out a couple of fun things that I can do perhaps during the 7-day quarantine right after arrival to have a little fun and see some sort of video or something that I can create simply from the hotel room. Because literally once we leave and they close the door, we can't go out of our room for 7 days. So I'm going to have to come up with something. And so I'm working on that a little bit too.
Your third act, because if people don't remember, I think you've already produced two videos about quarantine and a guy like you is heavily involved in sports. If there's no games, there's no need for you. So it's really been difficult for you.
Yeah, I was, my goal with the videos, and I think I've probably done 7 or 8 now, not all quarantine related,
okay,
but all kind of in the same vein. And my goal wasn't really to produce these videos. It was really to teach myself how to edit video. I feel like I need to know how to do that. That'd be something that'd be really helpful for me in life.
And so your one to the Backstreet Boys tune was really good in terms of video editing, because you – if people check it out, they'll see the videos like slide and move and transition, matching the words and such. So I thought that looked terribly difficult to edit.
Well, thanks. I really was like, okay, I want to do this. Now I go to YouTube and I figure out, you know, some 13-year-old who knows how to do it teaches you. And then you're like, oh, okay, that's how you do it. And then you make it work. And then you go, the next thing I want to do is this. I don't know how to do that. So you go back to YouTube and you find that another 13-year-old who knows everything and has done it on YouTube and is making millions of dollars doing that.
Sure.
And they teach you how to do it. You figure it out. So that's kind of been my process, and it's been a lot of fun. And I had to figure out what to produce. And so these parody songs have kind of been where I've ended up.
So you're going to fly down there. You'll be in a separate hotel for a day, 2 days, and then go into a 7-day quarantine. Is that correct?
Yeah, I didn't even really realize that till a few days ago, but it makes a lot of sense. They're taking us who fly commercially to a hotel to kind of get all the medical tests and checks out of the way there and make sure everything's good. And then once we have that guarantee, then we get taken into the complex at Disney. So it'll be one night, almost 2 full days, but mm-hmm. one night in a different hotel. And then once things are good to go, we get to move over to Disney.
And that's where you're different when you're not flying private like the teams. And they're obviously concerned with somebody on the plane bringing something. But when they have a controlled environment, for example, like the Pacers did, they took down the charter in the middle of last week. On Thursday, one of the last teams to arrive, and then they go straight to the hotel, have a 48-hour quarantine, and that's why they can kind of skip ahead, whereas someone like you and even other reporters that are going to be down there have to address it differently, which is just a different way of doing it, trying to make sure everyone is healthy. Any last-minute concerns? I told you I wanted to kind of a pre-interview. What are your grand thoughts about going down there, entering the bubble, and kind of what you'll be subject to, both from a work and personal standpoint here over the next at least month?
You know, my health is not one of my primary concerns.
Okay.
Obviously, I want to be healthy, and I'm going to do everything I can to protect myself and protect others around me. So not in that respect, but I just feel like it's going to be so, so clean at Disney. As clean as it can possibly be, it will be. And I feel like I would be much more at risk going to Walmart or wherever than I am here. So that's not something that bothers me. I want to do everything necessary to stay healthy, but it's not something that's weighing on my mind. I think more than anything, it's being in an environment where the job is new. I'm not one who gets nervous if I know what's expected of me and what I need to do going in. So the All-Star Game, for example, probably the biggest event I've done in my career so far, I was never nervous because I felt prepared. We had a lot of rehearsals and things going into it, and I felt like I was ready to go. This is something that's a little unknown just because the whole thing is unprecedented. Yeah. And how are they going to use me, and what are my responsibilities going to be for an empty stadium with no crowd? Is this going to be geared more for just giving information to the players? Is it going to be more hype man? And kind of like the whoever's doing the TBT has been a little bit that way. I just don't know all those answers yet. And so I think once I figure those out, I'll be more settled from the job side of things. But I'm overall excited. I hope I can get everything packed that I need. They say we can order from Amazon if necessary, and they'll make sure it gets to our room. So
good.
If all else fails, I'll order online.
Yeah, and then the other standpoint of doing your job is they're trying to work in these video screens, I think, with a certain amount of fans from each team involved, and maybe they'll, you know, boost the audio level of one team versus the other. I don't know. We'll figure that out. So that's another thing that normally you're not conscious of, but here you are. Do you know if you are one venue? Are you attached to, say, a venue, or could you bounce around to each venue during your time down there?
Yeah, there are three, as you know, three venues, and there are four of our teams. So each team has a public address guy, a game event presentation manager type person, audio, video, and a couple of floor managers. Each three of them are tied to a venue. So one team, you know, team A is with this venue, team B is with this venue all the time, and team C is with that venue all the time.
Which makes sense, so they can master it.
Correct. I, unfortunately or unfortunately, I'm not sure if it's good or bad, am on the team that's going to all of them. So our team will work at any of the three, which for me, I think will be more fun rather than the monotony of going to the same venue every single time. But it's going to be more difficult too, because you're going to have to figure out a slightly new system and a different setup. I'm looking forward to that, but we are the team that is going to bounce to all of them. So you never know where I'll pop up.
I like it. More Pacers representation down there. You're there. Pacers stats crew, even a Pacers ball boy will be down there. So there will be plenty of them scattered throughout. So I appreciate it, Tim. Thanks so much for joining me right now. And we'll have you on probably in a couple of weeks. I'd love to look back and see how it's going and such. So good luck with everything.
Yeah, I may have you send me clothes.
I gotcha. Although I'm sure the NBA equipment managers will be a big help for you. So you'll be
all right. I hope so.
My thanks to Tim Sinclair for calling into the show. Previous Fieldhouse Files episodes include CJ Miles, the former Pacer, an update on where I've been. Plus, if you go way back to early June, I talk with Stephen Holder of The Athletic, my former colleague there, about covering the NFL and the NBA. It's where he shared a ton of great stories from his time in Miami. That will do it for this episode of The Fieldhouse Files, and I'll talk to you again soon.